What was the front end of that story? They crack jokes and fight crime on the streets.
A lot of pressure on the fourth Bad Boys movie.
Say it. I need Nasty Mike. Bad Boys.
Bad Boys, Ride or Die, reunites Will Smith and Martin Lawrence as they fight crime and crack jokes on the streets of Miami.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Vince, you know, oftentimes we will report on F-Zero and F-1 tornadoes that are touching down.
Most frequent variety here in Wisconsin.
Right. And you and I oftentimes will say, well, either way, it's a tornado. You know, well, oh, should we confirm whether it is one? Well, there's damage.
Yeah.
Tell that to the person who just lost a house. There is a difference, though, when there's an F-Zero or an F-1 compared to an F-5. And tomorrow marks 40 years since an F-5 hit Wisconsin. It hit Barneveld, which is west of Madison in Iowa County, killing 9 people, injuring more than 200 others, and destroying 90% of the town. I mean, it just leveled Barneveld. And here's the worst part. It came through in the middle of the night.
It just all happened so fast. A quick crack of lightning come, the electricity all went off, and next thing you know, the walls and everything were falling.
40 years since that happened, the devastation, there's still video of it you can find and pictures of what it looked like. Governor Tony Earl.
Post office, fire station, all the utilities, everything is gone here.
Just absolute destruction.
You mentioned pictures. Anybody who was around then, and I was, 10 years old at the time, will never forget. And I don't know if it was the Milwaukee Sentinel or the Journal at the time. I mean, both obviously covered the story.
Right.
The pictures in the newspaper, front page of Barneveld gone, as you described, just the water tower left. Anybody who's around remembers those pictures.
Just leveled. Memorial Park in Barneveld is going to get a makeover. So they created this memorial to honor the 9 who were killed. And this weekend, Village President Mike Peterson tells WMTV they are going to have a ribbon cutting because they're going to redo this park.
As the village has grown, a lot of new people have come to town and might not know why the park is here and know completely the history. And that's the one thing we want to do is preserve that.
It's another reminder of what Mother Nature is capable of. An F-5 like that, you're talking 300-mile-per-hour winds. 300! And it just devastated this town.
And we don't get a lot of those F-5s, as you indicated. Mostly ones, zeros, maybe a 2 or 3. Yeah. But I think,
which are bad enough.
Right. I think Oakfield was a 5, at least for a point. That spot in Fond du Lac County in, the late 90s?
That was early. Yep, you're right.
But not a lot of those big storms like that in Wisconsin. 7:14 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
The Brewers wake up in Detroit this morning looking to right the ship against the Tigers, just after getting swept by the Philadelphia Phillies earlier in this road trip. Every game was close, though. The Brewers held their own. They just couldn't score many runs. As for the pitching matchup tonight, well, it's TBD. That's the MO lately for the Brewers, these to be determined as far as who the starter is going to go. There's a couple of reasons for that. One of them is because everyone's all dinged up.
Right. Aaron Ashby. You don't know who's going to wake up hurt today.
So Aaron Ashby, back from shoulder surgery, was the most recent pitcher to give a strong outing. He came out and pitched very well in the loss on Wednesday. We asked GM Matt Arnold about him on Thursday for Brewers 360. Aaron Ashby going to stick around for a bit?
Yeah, look, we're still talking about it.
That didn't seem like a ringing endorsement there. Yeah, still talking about it.
No, I took that as we're still talking about how great his start was the other day.
Oh, that's how you heard that?
Yeah, that's how I heard that.
Well, he did continue to say.
I mean, look, he did a fantastic job. I mean, as you guys know, right now we have a situation where we kind of need all hands on deck.
Yeah.
But Ash has been fantastic. I mean, just the way he threw the ball. I couldn't be more proud of this guy.
All right. Yes,
see, I was right.
I think he's
that.
Sticking around there. I don't think they have a choice, but yes, I think they're happy with how he did. Yeah, Brewers and Tigers tonight, 5:40 first pitch right here on WTMJ at the UWM Panther Arena. Yes. The goal horn was played a lot last night. The ads stave off elimination. They beat Coachella 7-2. They're now seven. Down in the series, though. 3-1. You got to save some of those.
Yeah, no kidding.
Got to save some of those.
They can do it, man. They can do this. Right, yep. They got to win out, but they can do it.
All right. I believe in you, Debbie. They got to win out. Next game is tomorrow night.
In golf, Wisconsin's own Steve Stricker hosting the American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. First groups will tee off at 9 o'clock this morning. And next year, this tournament's going to move from University Ridge, its longtime home, to Stricker's home course, formerly Cherokee Country Club, now TPC Wisconsin, in Madison. Stricker leading a redesign of the course. It opened once again about a year and a half ago. And I talked with Strick recently at the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame event here in Milwaukee. I played that course last fall. Do you remember what I said about the course?
That it was difficult.
It was
right?
Really,
it was tricky.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm not the world's greatest golfer, but that was a hard golf course. Yeah. So I'm talking to Strick, and I couldn't help myself.
Hey, I played your golf course, TPC Wisconsin, yeah. in the fall.
How'd you do?
Too damn hard, man. We went to work in the fall and this spring to soften it up a little bit.
Did you really? Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, because it's there are some challenging holes out there, but it overall the feedback's been pretty good and it's unique, you know, and it's been a lot of fun.
It's actually an immaculate property. It just was really hard.
So that was your doing, huh? Yeah. Glad you helped.
Yeah, great. See, I'm helping him. Now, they did not design that course for the likes of you and me, although you know, strict. Let's see, usually it's a course open for play. We want it to be playable.
Sure, of course.
And so they're going to make some more changes as it continues to grow in.
Move up the tee box by about 300 yards.
That would be helpful. Stricker goes out today at 10:50, and shortly after, the past two-time AmFam champion, Wisconsin's own Jerry Kelly, his tee time, 10:39 this morning.
We got a ride on to Electric Avenue.
Conflicting information this morning about the future of electric vehicles on American roads. And what's interesting about the conflict is it's coming essentially from the same source.
Okay. Go on.
You know, anytime we talk electric vehicles on the show, we get so many responses.
Yes.
A lot of perspective shared on our WTMJ talk and text line. A lot of folks who are devotees. They think this is the future. Some folks say, I'm not going that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they don't believe in it. Well, we reported on our show last month, electric vehicle sales across the board, across all automakers, are slowing. The market for EVs is cooling off. And I wanted you to hear from one of the key decision makers. Mary Barra is the CEO of General Motors. So that's Chevy, Buick, Cadillac, GMC, right?
You got
those
it.
Are the big
yep.
brands under the umbrella. NBC's Tom Costello is driving around with Mary Barra in a new all-electric Chevy Equinox.
You don't want us necessarily to be thinking of this as an EV, but rather as what? Just a good mid-sized SUV?
It's got a lot of pep, and it happens to be an EV that's got over 300 miles of range.
300?
So, yes. And so that really, when you get over 300 miles, really people stop worrying about range. The range anxiety goes away.
Yeah, range anxiety. That's one of those terms that EV makers don't like to hear.
Right. Essentially running out of gas. How far can you drive before right. your battery dies?
Yeah. How far can I get on that charge? Where am I going to charge it? Yeah. Is part of
right.
this sort
and
of range anxiety.
How long is that going to take?
Yeah. Wisconsin is investing. We reported tens of millions of dollars. Now it's federal money, but they're going to use that to build out our EV charging capacity over the coming years. So that's happening. But people are worried about that, a barrier for many of them to getting into EVs. So GM CEO says, if you can get past that 300 miles, you're good on that front. I'm not sure I agree that's the mark for me.
Hmm.
Is it 300? Is it 400?
I don't know. How many times are you driving the South Shore?
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Where are you going?
So I think, too, it's more like, where can I charge it? All right, if it gets me 300 miles, how do I know in that 300 miles or 250 or whatever that there's a place for me to charge, and how long does it take? Nonetheless, other thing is cost. NBC's report says the average EV sells for about $50,000. GM thinks that number needs to be closer to $30,000 to $35,000. And that's their target. Not obviously like for a Cadillac, but for like a Chevy brand, for
right,
example.
Right.
This is a big purchase for consumers when they're buying a new vehicle. And so this is the largest segment in the globe is in that price range.
So, okay, she's onto something there. Still the charging stations. And do I need to install a special outlet in my garage and things like that?
But and the length of time.
Yes. How long will it take? If you're on a long roadie, even if you find a charging station, do I have a spot there? And then how long to get
right.
back to a full
yeah.
charge? What about the politics? Democratic state of California still saying it plans to ban the sale of gasoline-powered vehicles by 2035. President Biden touting all electric as well. Republicans generally pushing back, saying they'd rather see the market decide. You want an EV? Go ahead and buy one. If you don't, don't. GM's Barra says the election will not change their direction.
We worked with the Trump administration. We've worked with the Biden administration. But the plan and the strategy that we're executing is one that we think is right for the long term.
Bottom line, GM is still putting the gas pedal down or the accelerator down on EVs.
Absolutely. We're going to give customers choice.
What did you hear there? We're going to
give customers the choice.
So that sounds like, okay, we're not going to quit doing gasoline-powered internal combustion engine cars and trucks. We're going to keep doing the electric thing, yes, but we're going to keep offering this choice, right? So here's where the conflicting information comes in. Listen to how Costello at NBC wraps up his report.
6 years ago, Bauer said GM would stop selling gas-powered engines by the mid-2030s. She now says the EV transition will take time, but listen, General Motors reached out to us to say the company is still, in fact, committed to going all electric by 2035, 11 years from now.
So which is it? Are you giving customers a choice or are you going to quit making gas-powered cars and trucks in a few years?
Well, maybe they're just going to let the market decide.
I think what you're seeing here is she's hedging her bets. And I think GM and any of those other folks would be wise to do so. I'm kind of agnostic on it. I'm curious about it. I think it's a great technology and would like to do it, but I'm not quite there yet for the issues that we listed. But 2035 is not the future. It's like tomorrow. You know, we're inside a decade here, and you can feel the concern from companies, the answer to their shareholders. They got to sell cars, right? And so are they sure? Is the future of vehicle travel EVs, or is the consumer not ultimately going to buy in? Got to wait before going all in. 727 on Wisconsin's Morning News. We've got Brewers President of Business Operations, Rick Schlesinger, joining us for Brewers 360 at 745.
All right, could this be the film this weekend that breaks the box office?
Or what's big coming out? I'm
Bad Boys 3. Could it save the summer?
A lot of pressure on the fourth Bad Boys movie.
I need Nasty Mike. Bad Boys.
Bad Boys, Ride or Die, reunites Will Smith and Martin Lawrence as they fight crime and crack jokes on the streets of Miami. The film opens this weekend, and box office experts are wondering if it'll help save a summer that's off to a slow start or continue the slump. Bad Boys Ride or Die expected to open to around $40 million in North America, but that's well below the last film, Bad Boys for Life, which opened to $62 million in 2020. The film has no other competition opening wide this weekend. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
I'm sorry I said Bad Boys 3.
You didn't even know how many it was.
I regret the error.
Right. What was the front end of that story? They crack jokes and fight crime on the streets.
A lot of pressure on the fourth Bad Boys movie.
Say it. I need Nasty Mike. Bad Boys.
Bad Boys, Ride or Die, reunites Will Smith and Martin Lawrence as they fight crime and crack jokes on the streets of Miami.
That's a great plot.
But all it takes is a...
They fight crime and crack jokes.
It could actually...
What it is.
I mean, the first one was really good. I enjoyed the first Bad Boys. I mean, it's possible. It wouldn't be unheard of for a movie to just... Because they catch fire sometimes. It's lightning in a bottle. Other news taking place today... Don't forget the final spin. Wheel of Fortune's Pat Sajak calls it a career after tonight's episode.
I haven't seen him making the rounds on the networks or anything like that, Pat.
Is it different? That's a good question. No, I thought he did something with his daughter last week or earlier this week. I thought I saw he and his daughter making the rounds.
Should he be on Good Morning America today and Today's Show and all that stuff?
I think that already happened. I think you blinked.
News is sponsored by Annex Wealth Management's Money Talk. That's heard Saturdays at 10, right here on WTMJ. Give the wheel one final spin. Talk about it in greater detail after 8 o'clock this morning, but I do want to set the stage for our conversation with Brewers President of Business Operations, Rick Schlesinger. He's coming up next.
Okay.
So I was at the ballpark the other day. I'm chatting with Rick. General Manager Matt Arnold is there and Brewers owner Mark Attanasio. And I asked Mark, since we got the stadium deal done at AmFam, could Milwaukee be in the running for another All-Star game? Attanasio said it is on their list of priorities that they discuss from time to time with the commissioner's office. And then this.
Finish the tie. Finish the tie and then have another game right after.
Bring all those guys back. Like an old timers game. That would be awesome.
That'd be Barry Zito awesome. Pitch at the age of 50.
So that would just be like fun.
Joe Torre be the manager. Bob
Bramley. So you're Matt Arnold chiming in there. That would be awesome. Remember, our 2002 All-Star game in Milwaukee finished in a 7-7 tie in the 11th inning.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something there. We'll ask Rick about it next on Brewers 360.
time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Admirals try to take the series back to Palm Desert this weekend. They staved off elimination, crushing Coachella Valley 7-2 Thursday night. It was a good old-fashioned boat race, but the Ads are still down 3-1 in their Western Conference Finals playoff series. Puck drops at UWM Panther Arena 6 p.m. Saturday night, and the Brewers in Detroit tonight for a 5:40 first pitch against the Tigers. Brewers 360 is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Rick Schlesinger, Brewers President of Business Operations, on the line with us this morning. Rick, a lot going at the ballpark when the crew returns after the weekend series with Detroit, but I do want to follow up with you on our conversation last week with Brewers owner Mark Attanasio. Were you serious when you suggested if Milwaukee were ever again to host an All-Star game that maybe there's something we could do in regards to the tie?
I certainly would love to convince the powers that be that we should finish that game and then have the regular All-Star game right after that. So absolutely. I mean, I was there in 2002, and I know the fans were disappointed, and, I think it would be fun. So we could love to bring back, you know, as many of those players from that game and have a lot of fun with it.
Did you get the sense that I did, that Attanasio, when you sort of quipped that and Matt Arnold chimes in, like, that would be awesome, and the names start flying around, that Mark was like, hey, like, there's something there.
Yeah, no, I think he certainly, he wasn't here, obviously, he wasn't the owner, but he certainly knows the story. And, just the thought of getting the All-Star game back here would be great. You know, it's such a great event, national, international attention. A lot of fun. I think our fans would love it. And again, let's take care of some unfinished business and get that tie straightened out.
Hey, Rick, so the Brewers, by the way, in first place in Detroit this weekend. But when they come back to AmFam Field, lots of different giveaways and different opportunities for fans to take advantage of. One of them is a week from Sunday. And I love this idea, the idea of a first responder discount, military and first responders. So those who are doing the dirty work, those who are saving the lives, get a chance to get into the ballpark at a little bit cheaper price.
Yeah, we also, either cheaper or free, we've got two terrace level tickets for those folks, or they can purchase half price tickets in other sections. And yeah, I mean, we've got some amazing people around the state who do great things for all of our communities. And, they work hard, and it'd be nice to have them come to the ballpark and enjoy themselves a little bit. So it's a good opportunity at a discounted price or even free to come into the ballpark.
Friday's game, Rick, we're going to celebrate former Brewer and current broadcaster Bill Schroeder's 30th anniversary in the booth. What do you have planned for Rock?
Yeah, well, it's just amazing to think that he's, done this for 30 years, and you guys are in the business. It's not easy to do this for 3 years, let alone 30, and he has been such a mainstay of our broadcasts. And we're going to have all of his past play-by-play partners come back. We're going to have him throw a first pitch. I guarantee you that broadcast will be sprinkled with some great anecdotes of Rock, not only his playing career, but his 30 years. And it'll be good to see Jim Paschke, Matt Vasgersian, Darren Sutton, Matt LePay.
Vasgersian, yes.
Absolutely. Who's always good for a few interesting observations about everything. It's fun. And, again, could not be more proud of Rock and his accomplishments and what he means to the broadcast and to the Brewers.
I'll mention one more thing, too, because we got so many kids are going to be out of school next week. The $9 student special is in effect next week as well.
Yeah, so again, we're trying to make sure that kids and students can come, and college and high school students can get in on Thursday, or actually Monday through Friday home games. We also have a first Friday coming up this Friday where it's half-price tickets for everybody. So, yeah, great opportunities to come to the game without spending a lot of money. That's the goal, is get people here and have fun.
My daughter's birthday next week, Wednesday. We're going to do the afternooner, so I'll see you out at the yard. See what other great ideas I come up with.
Perfect.
The Rock could play on Friday. That'll be your next idea.
Brewers return home next week at the Tigers in Detroit for a 5:40 first pitch. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick!
Ready,
Idea Man.
Who wants to spell spondy?
I'm going to try it.
Innovator.
S-P-O-N-D-E-E with one of those little deals on the top of it. Spondy.
Right. And Packers Hall of Famer.
Let's see if that's accurate.
Spondy. S-P-O-N-D-E-E. Spondy.
That is correct.
Very good.
Let's go!
Yeah. Yes, you and Aiden.
Let's go.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News is sponsored by Kohler Services. Tausch on the line with us this morning as he makes his way to the American Family Insurance Championship at beautiful University Ridge in Madison. Morning, Tausch.
Good morning, fellas. How are we today?
First guy's out at 9 o'clock this morning, right? You're doing your show from there?
Yeah, we're heading out. I'm out with our great producer, Jesse Nelson. We're doing a little road trip, kind of like what you and Eric did when you went to watch that three-quarter solar eclipse. But, yeah, we're heading out there. It's always I think it's one of the cool weekends, you know, to you get to see a ton of really good golf yet. And, obviously, Steve Stricker, Jerry Kelly, Wisconsin Golf, and to have something in our backyard is really cool. And we're always excited to get out here to cover it and to promote it as much as we can.
When you think about it too, Tausch, I mean, we went two decades here with a golf major on the calendar at some point, right? And we have the Women's Open coming in 2025 to Erin Hills. And after that, that's it for the majors. So this tournament that Strick started, and he's going to move it over to what was Cherokee Country Club, now TPC Wisconsin, next year. This is like a mainstay for golf and a lot of fans here in the state.
Yeah, you know, it's just, I think everybody thinks Wisconsin frozen tundra. And I think with, obviously, with what Whistling Straits and Kohler has done and Erin Hills and Sand Valley, it's just, we're pretty blessed, obviously, to be able to have as many great courses. And then, you know, the Ryder Cup here a couple of years ago. So I think that's all great. I think when you get a chance, and I mean, to be able to meet Jack Nicklaus a few years ago and all of, you know, Andy North's friends, you know, he's a big part of this tournament too. It really is a celebration of golf in the state of Wisconsin, and I think that's really cool.
Tausch, Vince recently talked to Stricker and did the most Wisconsin thing ever. Because he was upset.
I wasn't upset.
What was the course? You're talking about the TPC one, right?
Yeah, Strick was instrumental in the redesign of Cherokee, now TPC Wisconsin. He's built, and it's a new course.
So what does Vetrano say to him? We'll hear, play it.
Hey, I played your golf course, TPC Wisconsin, in the fall.
How'd you do?
Too damn hard, man.
He complains to the guy.
You played that, it's too hard.
Was this like at a press conference, or is this just you and Steve and you recorded a conversation? Because I don't have any problem if it's just you and Steve, but if that's a press conference, I don't know, Vinny. You're much more of a journalist than I'll ever be. I wouldn't go down that road.
It was not like a clandestine recording. Strick was inducted into the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, and I was at the ceremony earlier, so I got a one-on-one with him. So it's just he and I. So I wasn't at the back of the room.
Hey, golf course is too hard.
Vince Vetrano, WTMJ, I just want to let you know that course is too damn hard.
I'll say this.
I was out playing with the tournament director, Nate Pokras, at TPC last fall, and we ran into Strick, and Strick asked that same question. You know, he said, how was it? And both of us were like, it's way too damn, it's a tough course. There's water, and, you know, for us, 15 handicaps plus, it's a tough course. And Steve deadpan looked at us and was like, well, I made 9 birdies.
Well, yeah, you did, pro.
No blank, you did. You designed the course and you're a professional golfer. So, yeah, it's probably a little easier for you than for us. But I know everybody is excited. And I think, you know, University Ridge has been a great host. And I think the pros have really enjoyed it. They shoot 13, 14 under usually is what wins. I'll bet right now that next year that is not going to be the number that whoever ends up winning, unless it's Steve, because, you know, as he told me, he made 9 birdies.
Right. Yeah, so I guess that's 27 under for the 3-day tourney. Have a good one out there, Tausch.
Stuff like that. All right, see you, fellas.
But it went straight down the middle.